Welcome to Freestyle Fridays, a frank and fearless chat about current things that interest me, by your host, Lakeisha Poole. Welcome to the very first episode of Freestyle Fridays. Hi, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad to be just enjoying this Friday. And this is my very first inaugural podcast, and I know that I'm going to learn a little bit about this experience, but I wanted to open up before talking about the topic for today, which is all about a really hot topic in harassment, and just reflecting an experience I had and an answer, some input and some thoughts about an experience that I had this week. I want to start before doing all of that and getting into the juicy topics and just take time to introduce myself and introduce my interest in this podcast and maybe like what kinds of conversations you can anticipate if you choose to tune in. So yes, as I said before, my name is Lakeisha and I'm so happy to hear, you know, be here. And I'm from Silicon Valley and I tend to go to a lot of events. I am a lawyer by background. I specialize in employment law. And I say lawyer by background because I'm transitioning from being an employment law lawyer to having a startup called Talent Karma, which of course I'll talk about at some point. In addition to this, I have a Black professionals group that I created after I had this experience of coming to returning back to the Bay Area and wanting to connect the Black community in particular more. And that has been a really life-changing experience. I organized the group from Meetup and we have repeated events, Black professional related community service, business, and social events. So back to the actual reason for this podcast. Yes. So I want to have a dialogue and I also want to have some conversations about not just current events, but current reflections on events that I've either attended or events I intended to attend. And I also wanted to freestyle on some thoughts that are coming up, bubbling up in my exploration of a lot of culture-related topics as now a startup founder with the mission of eliminating and identifying toxic work environments. So that's my main focus, though. I mean, I am, a wellness-oriented person. I have a lot of interest in things that are interesting, things that I find interesting, at least. So I hope with that you're enticed, and I hope that I can really well explain why I am really triggered and interested in talking about what I'm going to talk about today in this first episode. Hi there. So I went to this event recently and I really wanted to talk about all of my experiences in this event because, well, not all of them, that would be a long thing, but I really want to talk about one particular thing that happened during the event that really triggered me. And I really want to talk to folks that if they went to the event or they had any insights, and this is actually the moment where I geek out a little bit about employment law and a specific position about how we should think about non-disclosure and confidentiality provisions with agreements, okay? So the event was the Phenomenal Women event, and it was on Tuesday of this week, and it was in San Francisco, California, in the Presidio. Beautiful event, beautiful location. There were lots of amazing women there, and it was sponsored by a number of very notable tech companies like, I believe, well, Uber for sure. That'll be another thing. And there was Facebook there. A lot of women's organizations were there too. And there was a lot of support of nonprofit women's organizations. That was kind of the main point of it. So it was a really cool event. But something happened. I guess something happened that made me think a little bit broadly about the need for transparency in a general sense that I found upon here. And these are just my freestyle thoughts, but I invite any conversation if you went there, if you also are interested in workplace culture. And so this event featured an interview that was done by Kara Swisher, and the interview was of Toni West and Eric Holder. They both are affiliated with Uber, so for both answers, it was basically relating to Uber. So the question that Kara asked was, how do we address this issue of confidentiality agreements? We want to have more disclosures and more people opening up, and we have this phenomenon of people being afraid to tell their stories because of confidentiality agreements. So do we get rid of them? What do we do? That was Kara's question. Great question, Kara. I love her for keeping it real. Thank you. Unfortunately, Toni did not keep it real. Well, he answered the question by dodging the question, which, you know, as anyone who's an attorney knows, that is the most infuriating thing that one could possibly do, is not answer the question, but suggest something to dodge the question. But in his answer, which I only wish I did record so I could really, you know, home stenographer my reasons for being triggered, he insinuated that confidentiality agreements are absolutely necessary, or something that would help the victim. And I immediately thought, I almost think I said it. I was like, bullshit. I don't know if I said it that loud, but I did certainly think that. Because, well, you know, this is a part where I'm going to geek out on employment law for people who don't know, okay? So a lot of people are familiar with, you know, starting employment and signing confidentiality agreement. The confidentiality agreement that you sign when you first start has absolutely nothing to do with what Kara was referring to in terms of confidentiality. I think what Kara was referring to is usually comes up in the form of a non-disparagement agreement. Okay. A non-disparagement agreement is usually a paragraph that is within a agreement that an employee will often receive when they leave the company. For those who don't know, what is disparagement? Well, you know, actually, even in the law, what disparagement is actually something that's kind of carved out through law. But in general, it means doing anything negative about the company, whether it's true, whether it's untrue. If it's against the company and it's negative, you're not supposed to do it. That's kind of the basic idea of non-disparagement. Now, mind you, you're only obligated if you sign the agreement, and usually you sign it in exchange for money. So, you know, there's usually something, or I should say consideration. It might not necessarily be money, but, you know, 99.9% of the time, there's some kind of lump sum or monthly sum or something. And there might be some other things that are given, like benefits or whatever. And a lot of agreements are signed by employees, whether they had a complaint or not, whether they had a story to tell or not. Sometimes it's just a general practice to have everyone leaving the company sign this, because it kind of lowers the risk to have, you know, some amount given to prevent the filing of lawsuits later. So the biggest part of any of these release agreements or settlement agreements, depending on the context and when you get this agreement, is to not sue or file an arbitration. But non-arbitration or non-disparagement clauses are often a component of the agreements, and 90% of the time they are unilaterally towards the employer, not towards the employee. So what this language looks like is something to the effect of, the employee agrees in consideration, which is, you know, in exchange for that big check, yo, you are not going to talk about the company or do anything negative against the company. And if you do, there's another paragraph often in these agreements, which basically says, well, you know, we can't really prove our damages, or we both as two parties acknowledge that it's difficult to assign or assess an exact amount of damages. So if you do violate it, or if we prove you violated, you have to agree to liquidated damages. And that amount is usually specified in the agreement. And it oftentimes is an amount that is, you know, significant amount of the settlement agreement or a settlement amount that was offered. So, you know, it is a significant deterrent if you understand that, you know, hey, if I say anything bad, whether I say it, you know, in a, you know, lean-in group or whether I say it on a Medium article, technically I could be held accountable for liquidated damages. And, you know, whether it was true or not, that's what a non-disparagement clause is about. So, given that explanation of what a non-disparagement agreement really is, like what that paragraph is really covering, how in the actual hell could Tony actually suggest that there is anything about protecting, in air quotes, victims from in the agreement or in confidentiality? I mean, if someone doesn't want to say anything because they want to choose to maintain their privacy, that's something that you don't have to put into an agreement. So I felt like the answer was very mealy-mouthed, and I really had to, you know, I think what triggered me is the fact that so much of what was stated ahead of this question was all focused on this real desire from Uber, at least, to start laying down the law in terms of transparency. Okay, so I think that the contradiction between that answer that suggests that there's something that is to be gained from an individual employee from a non-disparagement, was what I have a problem with. Now, I should say that non-disparagement clauses can be mutual, you know, so you can have them say that the employer isn't going to say anything bad about the employee. But a lot of agreements, at least in my experience, you know, they're typically written very unilaterally, and it's only a negotiation that they would change. And oftentimes companies won't actually change it to a mutual non-disparagement. They'll change it to something to the effect of, we won't say anything bad about you, and if anyone asks about your previous employment, we agree that the HR person will give your dates of employment alone. So that usually kind of addresses this issue of, you were terminated, and I think I was terminated because of sexism, and you don't want that to be in any way impeding your ability to get future employment. So how do I think the question could have been better answered? Well, I think a better answer, well, first of all, I'd say that an answer that is always wrong, and I know that, you know, there might be a sense that, oh, everyone's so sensitive and there's no way to make everything right. That may or may not be true, but I think that one can comfortably say that anything that is just like patently false is not a transparent answer. Right? I mean, anything that misleads the audience and or misleads people into thinking that an agreement is in some way a helpful thing when it isn't, in fact. So, you know, I think that there's a challenge now because companies are definitely squirming at the idea of having any kind of radical candor. And as much as I think it's difficult to do so, I think bridging the divide of the lack of trust and a sense of lack of power, in disproportionate power, and people feeling a desire to reclaim power, I think that we need to reassess what risk management is. Risk management under the compliance lens is protect the company and have the most protective language at all costs. And even if it means, you know, you can't even tell your mom about this technically. I mean, you only have your agents, which could be your lawyer and maybe some people, very close people like your spouse. Technically, you can't tell people about your story, even if it's true, without risking violating the current language of a typical non-disparagement clause. And how does that actually affect our ability to actually address systemic problems of harassment and, you know, discriminatory treatment? You know, because, you know, I used to take at face value this argument, you know, management side, you know, argument that I used to hear, and I used to work management side, that, oh, this is necessary because, you know, we don't want to try a case. We want to settle the case to move on. And we don't want to be in a position where, hey, obviously we dispute the fact that there's discrimination. And if they're going around, that can injure our brand. But and I think that there's some truth to that. And I think that that could have been part of the answer that, you know, yes, you know, from a risk mitigation, we don't want to deal with having to deal with the claim and not be able to defend ourselves. But, you know, a non-disparagement that's unilateral wouldn't keep you from defending yourself. It would just stifle the communication altogether. And so that was, you know, what I've kind of introspected later, like to think, huh, well, that's not the case. Like, if they really are so gunning to talk about discrimination, you are completely allowed to position your side of the story. Of course, the injury to their reputation could be, based on what they're saying, and that's a risk. Definitely a risk. And there's, reasons to consider whether to carve out language or to keep it protective. But I think another thing that I introspected and thought about is I used to think that non-disparagement agreements were about, oh, well, what if someone is going around saying something false? Like, hey, I was harassed, but, in fact, that didn't happen. And I've kind of since later kind of realized, oh wait, well, if anyone's going around saying false things and putting it, publishing it, that's a defamation claim, that's a libel claim. So you're not really talking about necessarily those types of things, because just like you don't have to say, don't rape me in a new agreement, there are things that are protected that transcend, and you don't need to specifically have them in a contract to have a cause of action. So anyway, I want to leave it there because, I'm geeking out and I'm talking, and this is my first podcast. But thank you for listening if you've been listening so far. And if you had any opinions about this, I mean, how do you craft good language about confidentiality? I mean, if you care about the fact that, crafting language helps establish trust, and you want your company to be a place where people are able to tell their stories, how do you craft language in a non-disparagement agreement, or in any kind of agreement you have employees sign that honors this desire for people to speak out and learn from each other their experiences? I mean, that's a scary proposition. But then again, if you're eradicating a lot of harassment, then hopefully you have nothing to fear, right? I mean, that's the other end of the other coin, and is certainly a great stopping point. So thank you so much for listening. I'm so excited, and I will see you next Friday.